Welcome to the Minivate Gang Podcast, episode 342. No, 352. I'm Steve Borsch. I can't do math in my head. And I'm on with Tim Elliott.
Good morning.
And Phil Wilson.
Yeah, good morning. How are you?
We're on an FM station.
That's right. We should be on an FM station. Talk about oldies and goodies and
good story though.
Yeah.
Hey, have you guys used any of the new emojis on Facebook this week at all?
No, I detest that stuff.
There's emojis on Facebook?
Yeah, they did a whole rollout.
The new emojis. You can not only like things, but you can also love things. You can wow things.
I got some news for you, Phil.
Yeah.
Both Steve nor I work at BuzzFeed, so we don't know about the new emojis.
It was in all the papers. I don't know why I didn't see it.
Yeah.
There's a love and there's a ha ha and there's a wow. There's a sad. There's an angry.
And this is news.
No, well, Phil just brought it up conversationally. Come on, Tim.
It's a conversation. Jeez,
all right,
come on.
All right.
You'll be a lot of fun at dinner parties, I bet.
Let's talk about Facebook emojis.
Well,
it's going to be a lot of fun at dinner parties.
Tim's mad at me now because I abused him.
No.
It's just small talk. I was sorry. I'm sorry.
Right.
Yeah. So let's get into the serious meat of the show.
That's right.
What other BuzzFeed news do we have this week?
No.
Would you stop?
Well, we'll get to that. But what was Product Tank?
Giving the segue to this Product Tank thing.
It's very tough. I was just going to kind of bring that up casually too. I kind of decided I wanted to try to see what else was out there as far as meetups. You know, I go to a lot of dev stuff and, you know, tech stuff. There's a meetup group forming here. There's a national group called Product Tank. It was formed in London, I guess. Not a great name. You know, you shouldn't really put product and tank together, but.
Yeah, it sounds like accessories for military hardware.
Or, you know, failed project products or something like that. But, the Shark Tank thing is, you know, kind of big. So Matt Khoury out of Thomson Reuters, I met him on a panel at MobCon and he reached out and it was just, I was thinking to myself, I got to go to different places. He reached out and said, hey, we need a space for a Product Tank to meet. So they met at our office and we had about 30 folks there and just basically product managers or soon to be product managers or people that are interested in product management. An interesting group if you're interested in products called Product Tank. We had three or four speakers and it was really well put together. I just kind of wanted to offhandedly talk about that.
That's actually kind of interesting.
It is. It's very interesting stuff.
Well, Tim, that kind of dovetails on there was a product camp that you put it in a couple times in the upcoming events section.
Yep.
And was that kind of the direction of that as well? Product camp was all about tools and approaches and new ways of managing product development what was that?
That is a unconference for people that do product management.
Oh, okay.
So in the area.
Yep.
And it's usually at St. Thomas and it's, I think, 5 or 6 years in at this point.
Yeah. Interesting.
Product Camp MN. Well, just kind of taking a look real quick about when that usually falls. When does it usually fall, Tim? Do you remember?
Well, it's later in the year, but it's when I see it, you know, out there when they come up with a date, I usually stick it in the notes.
Well, it looks like the last one was 2014. It doesn't have a 2015.
Oh, no. Really? I thought there was one last year.
Oh, no, there it is. Sorry. Upcoming events. There it is. PCs 2016, spring of 2016.
All right.
Yeah. Well, that's it. That's about now. So
keep our eyes peeled.
Well, speaking of management, you know, remember last fall in October, another good segue. Code 42 raised that $85 million, right? And they just named a new CFO, Chief Financial Officer, Tim Connor. And I'm sure that has to do with the fact that, oh my God, we got all this money now. We better manage it correctly.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, it's all part of the whole, you know, growth of that company. And
right.
Unless you get a new CEO, he starts bringing in a team of his own. And yeah, I mean, it's just interesting to see Code 42 was this successful startup and grew into this good, solid tech company that we all sort of interacted with and watched grow. And now it's at that point of a sort of changing over as it moves from, you know, the founding team to a new team. And, you know, it's just an interesting point in its life cycle, just to see where it's going and what it's up to.
So yep.
I'm sure within a year, you know, a lot of people won't even recognize the place. So.
Right. And hopefully they stay here.
Yeah.
And don't decide, oh, let's move to Silicon Valley or let's go
where's
to
where is the CEO? The CEO actually doesn't live here, does he? I think he
lives came from the East Coast and he may still be there.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty common, but so. Well, there was that interesting article in the Strib about a Minneapolis-based startup. Who put this in here? Power Over Time Incorporated.
I did. I read this in the paper this week, and I said, you know what? This is a very interesting application of sort of Internet of Things to utilities so that they can lessen the use of electricity during peak times.
Yeah.
So.
Well, here's what connected me with this is one of the founders – Ralph Jensen was a co-founder of GoFast.net in St. Paul with Mike O'Connor.
Ah.
And Mike O'Connor has been posting a lot about, you know, he bought a Tesla P85D and was giving rides to people and how fun it was and all that. Okay, so that was cool. And Ralph is the guy, by the way, that convinced Mike that it would be a good thing back in the 90s to buy domain names. And so he bought television.com and bar.com and place.com and all these. He's made millions selling these things. So I'm sure that, you know, he bows to Ralph whenever. But what was interesting was Mike O'Connor has put solar arrays on the shed on their hobby farm in Wisconsin that they're bringing back to a natural state. And I would bet my bottom dollar that Ralph is an advisor to Mike on, you know, how to manage all this stuff and put everything together. And they're probably connected on this. And this looks like a very interesting play.
It does. And hopefully they can get some traction.
Yeah. Yeah. Good one. Good find.
It's a very long article as well. Gets into all the details.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and this kind of dovetails, this is a tangent, I'm sorry, and I'll make it quick, but there was an article this week that came out, I'll see if I can find it and stick it in the show notes, but it was about what's happening in the oil and gas industry and the fact that there may be a permanent recession in oil and gas because every car manufacturer in the world now has strategies around a lineup of electric vehicles and the fact that the future for gasoline-specific powered automobiles is going to continue to be depressed and demand will over time diminish. And so they're not that happy about it. And it's pretty clear that directionally that's where this is all going. And Mike O'Connor is, I mean, with this array that he's got, he's feeding stuff back in. He's selling it to Wisconsin Electric and making money he's not making money because, of course, it's going to take, you know, 18 years for him to pay off all this, I suppose, but we'll see. So anything going on in investment in the Twin Cities?
Well, there's this app that I had put the story in from Twin Cities Business Magazine. That's like what is it? Foji? Like
yes.
It's Foji and phone together. Foji. Never heard of it, but they've raised some money and they're looking to try to raise more so they can expand this. But it's an app that allows businesses to send promotions out with using smart emojis. I just saw this when I was looking for stories. And have any of you guys run across this thing?
Never.
Never.
Yeah. It seems like
it looks like it's a B2B play, and I'm not sure I quite understand. So.
Yeah, I don't either. But they're looking to raise between $2 and $5 million to build out.
Interesting.
This business. But I guess I'll have to download it and see exactly how it works.
Hey, have you guys heard about this this rabble rouser in Eden Prairie? This kind of he's kind of a security nut, but he was he was in the paper the other day, did an editorial in the Strib.
Very, very funny.
Yeah.
All right. So it's Sunday morning and I'm reading the paper. I have my ritual. I read this strip in the New York Times with my bride, and then I break out my iPad and I spend a couple hours on Flipboard.
You forgot to mention that you have your ambient music on Pandora.
That's
on
correct. Thank you. Thank you, Tim, for
playing via your fourth generation Apple TV.
That's right.
So people know.
Yes. Yes. It's called Relaxation Radio. Anyway, so I'm reading this, the opinion pages, and here the Star Tribune has this editorial: national security is at stake in Apple's face off with feds. And actually they had a different title in the paper, but, so I'm reading this and I'm thinking, Seriously? And they were pro Apple, you know, creating software to break into this phone. And it was all about national security and what had nothing to do really with encryption. And I thought, this is one of the most naive things I've ever read in my life. So I wrote up an editorial counterpoint and I sent it into them. And, you know, they say that you have to cap it at 750 words. And this was like 1400 or something. And I thought,
you blew right by that. That's
yeah.
For sure.
And I tried to edit it down. I couldn't. Yeah. So I figured they wouldn't publish it. And they did on Tuesday morning. It was in the op-ed page on, you know, big section on the half the opinion page. And I had also, thinking they wouldn't publish it, I'd also written up a blog post, you know, seriously, Minneapolis Star Tribune, because the original title was U.S. Security at Stake as Apple Defies Order. And as such, I've lost some friends who've unfriended me on Facebook. Yep.
Really?
And,
Just in with the terrorists, apparently.
Well, yeah. And, I've had some very, very vigorous debates with people who are, on the side of the FBI and think that, you know, I mean, what the hell? But what I've learned is the fact that 99% of the people that I talk to that are pro FBI don't understand the ramifications of what would happen if, because Apple can't just create this thing in a vacuum, stick it in a lab, and then nobody knows how to do it or how it works. You know, there's going to be all these people that have to vet it, and they're going to have to actually look at the app, and they're going to have to understand the process so that they can, so they'll know that this new operating system didn't destroy any of the evidence, because you have to maintain the chain of evidence. You have to make sure that from A to Z it works. And so once people understand that, then they start to do a humma humma, and they, you know, not that they're acquiescing and changing their mind. Well, there's still got to be a way, but people are a little more understanding. So it was,
I don't know. I have a hard, you know, for me, it's not an easy thing to say, but it seems so clear to me, that things have to be protected. But, you know, I can understand the passion on either side, or the logic on either side, but it just really kind of comes down to, we talk about, there's so much talk about the Constitution, and that one's pretty clear. You know, privacy seems to be a pretty clear thing. So,
yeah,
there's an aspect of this story that I haven't seen many people talk about, which is the liability that Apple would have if they cooperated here, because many of their customers buy Apple and pay a huge premium for the security features, which they've baked in over years, and that's been one of their key differentiators. So to have them go back on that at this point would open them up to lots of class action lawsuits and whatnot. So I think that's the, you know, if there's ever a resolution to this, they will get indemnified somehow by the government.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and what was so amazing were all the follow-ups. I mean, this thing is really unfolding quickly. And I'll also put a link in the show notes if anybody wants to read the brief that Apple filed. But Google, Amazon, Facebook, Microsoft, Twitter, Box are all supporting Apple in court. They're joining the amicus brief.
Even though that, you know, Bill Gates basically said on Charlie Rose that, you know, he felt he was on the side of the FBI.
Yeah.
He felt that. So it's interesting to see that his company, Microsoft, is saying, yeah, screw you.
Well, that is interesting. But also, you know, I thought, well, you know, here's a guy, Bill Gates, that made sure there were back doors and windows. And then when they bought Skype, there was a mysterious day-long outage worldwide of Skype where nothing was working. And people were all freaked out. And it turns out that the response from Microsoft was there was an issue with a Windows update that didn't work properly and blah, blah, blah. And everybody that I followed at that time that were in security were like, no, this is bullshit. This doesn't smell right. And people started to say, eh, they stuck a back door in Skype. And that's exactly probably what we've discovered later on. So that's kind of where Bill Gates' head's at, as far as I'm concerned. But anyway.
For business, right?
Yeah. And then Apple is going to make it harder to hack iPhones. So now, as people may or may not know, that Apple has the ability to push updates to the phones. And so there can be automatic OS updates. And they're going to make that, they're essentially going to do a firmware password. Like on my MacBook, I have a firmware password. So if somebody steals my MacBook and they stick a thumb drive in there or another drive and they boot from that and try to install a new version of OS X and wipe my MacBook, they can't unless they have the password for the firmware. So essentially I've bricked it. And so, you know, it's kind of my FU to somebody that would steal my laptop, but it also secures it. So nobody can boot from something else and get in and forensically go after the drive. They just simply can't do it. And that's what Apple's going to add to the phone. And I don't know if you guys saw this, but they had just hired the developer behind that Signal app that we've talked about in past security tips of the week. And this is Edward Snowden's favorite secure chat and voice app. And so they're truly stepping it up.
Yeah. And rightfully so.
Yeah.
And rightfully so. Yeah. It's interesting, don't you think?
Well, I do, and it's disconcerting because the and you guys just chime in here anytime you want, but
no, that's all right. You know, Steve, this is a great thing. I mean, I think that you are clearly between the three of us. I mean, probably more suited to talk about this. For me, I chime in from the strictly, you know, gut feel of you know, and you know, the heart of it all, not necessarily the facts of it all. So I think it's completely fine that you take the ball on this. Tim, well, I don't know about you, but I'm fine to lay back on this one.
I'm looking at a management interface right now in a web browser where I manage dozens of WordPress websites as part of our business and the Innovate Press business. And, mm-hmm. and this is every single one of these has to be secure. And we have to monitor them for malware. We have to check to make sure they're up and running. They get backed up every day and so on. And so I'm hyper aware of the running WordFence, by the way. But I'm hyper aware of security issues related to online attacks and server level denial of service stuff and all of that. And that's one of the reasons that I stay up on what's going on with security, because it's up to me to take care of all these devices and make sure that our computers for the business are up and running and our iPhones and iPads and people are actually using VPNs when they're on public Wi-Fi and blah, 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 blah. So anyway,
there you go.
I care about it a lot.
I know, deeply.
Deeply.
Well, and it's something to be worried about, since the government is, you know, continuing to do surveillance and sharing it amongst agencies.
Yeah, what's up with that?
It's just, yeah, they're just trampling over our privacy. It's very startling, and I think that's why this election is so out of control. It's people are worried about all this. We've gone far in the wrong direction.
Well, do you think people are worried about their security and privacy? Do you think they're really worried about their privacy? Because so many people talk to don't really care.
A lot of people are worried that the government has overstepped, and the whole Snowden revelations have really taken people and made them think about, well, maybe the government isn't out for their best interest.
Yeah. But
that's why they're looking at outsiders, whether it be Trump or Cruz or whoever, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think people necessarily, the average public person, you know, the average Joe Sixpack really doesn't seem to be alarmed about privacy.
I think they're outsider candidates then.
No, I think it's more about, national pride. I think it's more about, you know, we're better than them. It's more about, I'm tired of being taxed. You know, I think it's more about that than the average American's concern about privacy, because we've seen that privacy has changed so much in the last generation as to what people consider private and what don't. I mean, I don't disagree that there is a section of those people that are paying attention to these sorts of things. But I think that the bulk of Americans are voting for these whack jobs, basically, because they think, oh, my God, they're coming to get us. Not the government, but, you know, somebody else is coming to get us, whether it's the you know, the terrorists or the Mexicans or whatever. So I think
well,
as
you
much
know,
as I think that that's I think there's knowledge of the infringement of privacy and overstepping by the government in that realm. But I think it's more taxes and immigration that people.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Do you guys know who Clay Shirky is?
Yep.
You know, he's a writer and he's done a bunch. He's done TED Talks and all this stuff. And I saw him talk at, I think it was the Web 2.0 conference. I don't remember. But, you know, he's a guy that really studies the effect of the internet on society and culture and all that kind of stuff, right? And what was interesting about it was that this talk, he talked about, and he actually mentioned Ray Kurzweil's book, How the Singularity is Near, because he was talking about exponential change and how humans can't really understand exponential change. They can understand linear change. But, you know, when you talk about adding the lily, he's the lily pad example, adding if every day there's one lily pad added in the pond, at the end of the summer, there's after 3 months, there's 90 lily pads, right? But if it's exponential, every day it doubles, by the end of the summer, the entire pond is covered with lily pads. And people don't understand the doubling effect and exponential change. And so he said, he predicted, even at that time, this is like, I don't know, 2002, 2003, he predicted at that time that there would be a point where people could not handle the pace of technology change. And as a consequence, they wouldn't even want to understand. They wouldn't want to get into the detail. They would just want something fixed, or they would want something to work. And I think that's kind of maybe part of what's going on.
I think it's terrorism and it's the economy, and immigration is a big part of the economy, because
yes,
you know, there are a lot of foreign workers that are taking jobs. You know, that Disney case is probably the biggest one that's being batted about this week.
Well, I was really focusing on the tech part.
Yes.
And no,
I think this election cycle, that those are the big issues. And yes,
yeah,
this whole thing about privacy is a piece of the puzzle, but I'm not sure if everyone is so overwhelmed with all of that.
Yeah,
I think it's a combination of all of these other factors, and you know, who knows? This is the most bizarre election.
Oh,
that no, I've tell me ever, about it.
It reminded me early on of the '76 election and the '80 election, and it. You know, at that time, at 80, I was 20, and I could not support either major candidate in that election. They both scared the hell out of me. Yeah. So I went third party then, and it seems like, you know, I'm undecided, but I'm leading third party this time too.
Then you've got the Obama administration, who everyone expected would be on the side of the people. Specifically, but now they're expanding the sharing of data that the NSA is intercepting. And that's fine if they're doing it for overseas, but of course the NSA is still collecting an unbelievable amount of data domestically and storing it in that Utah facility.
Yep.
So
you want me on that wall. You need me on that wall.
What a great movie. Jack Nicholson was awesome.
Sorry, it's what it said.
That's, yeah, and of course,
yeah. You can't handle the truth, Borsch.
Yeah, I know. All right, let's keep moving here.
No, here's the important thing. Obviously, privacy is obviously very important. It's you know, politics very much important. But what's really important, people, is that there is a possibility that mobile phones are cooking men's sperm.
I agree. This is the major story of the week, and we've
is the story of the week.
You guys
here. When I saw
it's an actual article. Okay, all right.
It is
on Drudge this week, and I said, you know what? This one is a Steve Borsch special.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Tim. Now, is this because I wear lead underwear to protect to protect myself?
Mentioned this on many occasions.
Yes.
The cage undies.
Hey, you can't be guy can't be too careful. Plus, you don't know what's happening with gamma rays. So, I mean, come on.
The upshot is, don't if you're a man of childbearing years, then don't put your mobile phone in your pocket.
Yes,
because your sperm is
front pocket, or even in your back pocket. They say it's like within a foot or something like that.
Right. Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's scary.
So keep it next to your head when you're talking on it. Right. Yeah.
Wait, stop.
Oh, my gosh. Well, were there any cool things of the week this week, you guys?
I got a cool thing. Can I go?
Please.
I'm happy to say, and I, you know, posted this around this morning or this week on Twitter and Facebook, et cetera, but we rolled out the BuzzFeed video app on Tuesday of this week, and it's being downloaded like gangbusters, as we opined that it would, but I encourage you to take a look at it. It's available on both Android and iOS, simultaneous release for us. We did on both platforms, and it's getting rave reviews. And
except for mine,
they're not going to have a Filson channel. Sorry.
See, I was disappointed when I saw the announcement. And I downloaded the app, and I couldn't find. I figured they should have a section called My Featured Phil, and it was all about Phil Wilson videos.
I don't have any videos, though.
Yeah, there are videos of you online, sure. Come on, interviews you did at the Minnesota Interactive Marketing Association conference, you know, stuff like that. So,
take a look at it. It's we heard reports over the week that it's already become the major distraction in high school classes. So,
oh, how funny.
May want to take
I'm downloading it now because that pizza cone looks really good.
It is very tasty.
Gotta figure out how to make those. And thank you for doing Android.
Yeah. Android and iOS at the same time. And I think that I like to draw attention to this, not because it's a place where I work and I'm proud of it, but it's also lovingly crafted by the hands of Minnesota developers.
Sweet.
Steam and the Android team, predominantly here in Minnesota. So it's great. It's great. It's all very successful, and it's an amazing amount of videos being streamed at any given time.
It is really amazing. There's so doggone many.
Yeah.
And you know, just having, you know, there are other apps that try to present, you know, the trending videos and the hot this and the hot that. But it's got the BuzzFeed brand name on it.
Yeah.
And so when people search in the app stores for BuzzFeed thinking they'll just pull up, you know, some app and they see it, they're like, hey, cool. And they download it, you know, it's
hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah, your lips to God's ears, man.
There you go.
Or your lips to the consumer's ears. Yeah.
So Mr. Tim.
Very proud of it.
Well, this is what I saw this week, and it's an operating system. It's a Linux operating system called SubGraph OS, and what makes it different is that it's for journalists and dissidents and people that might want to stay away from people surveilling them. So it's a very secure version of Linux that runs on you know, it doesn't have to have its own hardware, so it runs on just about anything. It says it's lightweight, and what I like about this is that each application within it is it's in its own sandbox, so that if you get a PDF that's has a malware in it, it doesn't infect your whole system. It only infects where you're at. Tor browser is how you browse the web, so it's all anonymized. You know, if you want to be very secure in this day and age, you do a lot of work at Starbucks, you know, take a look at this, because this looks like it's a pretty good version of Linux.
I'm going to download it into a parallel virtual machine and give it a shot, see what it's like.
Yep.
Can you run it off a thumb drive?
I'd imagine you can. I didn't do a whole lot of research, but you know, it's worth a look. And if you're, you know, as concerned about security as we are, then you know, take a look. It's brand new, just came out.
Well, I will tell you that there's I sort of got slapped around when I was talking about Tails to somebody that shall remain nameless. Tails is a Tor-based thumb drive operating system that you can boot from, and so none of the apps or background stuff that's phoning home is running, and you can do all your stuff, and then you can, and it won't save anything on the thumb drive. And then when you're done, you just shut your machine down or restart, and you're back and running. And I got slapped around because of the hidden malware and also boot level chip changes that apparently the NSA has figured out how to do. And so anyway, I was basically said, look, if you're going to use something like that, just buy a cheap, you know, computer that's the only thing you use it for. I was like, oh my God, seriously? So there you go. So this is kind of interesting. I'm going to try it out.
All right.
How much is it? How much is this?
I believe it's free.
Okay.
It wants to be free.
Yeah.
Free. Be free.
Okay. So mine is, it was actually an Indiegogo project that got fully funded and now it's available on the Atom store, Atom Elements, and they sell a bunch of stuff for various projects. It's called iClips, iKLIPS. And it's the world's fastest Apple Lightning flash drive. So it has USB on one end and Lightning on the other. And you may say, well, now why? Well, okay, so yeah, I need more storage and for my iOS device, and that's great. But I just handed my wife a 256 gig thumb drive with the last three seasons of The Mentalist on it. I bought them all on the iTunes App Store. So right. I did a favor for a family member who gave me $300 iTunes gift cards.
Very
ended
nice.
Up using them to
binge watch. Good for you.
Yeah, binge watch The Mentalist. But anyway, she wanted to catch up and watch the rest of the seasons while she had these. She traveled for like 22 days out of the last couple months. And I put them on a 256 gig thumb drive. And she said the only downside was I'd much rather watch them on my iPad than on my computer. And I said, okay, but I didn't really know how I would go about doing that. So I went out and poked around. I found this iClips. So now I can put everything on the iClips. And because I can authorize her device, she can watch everything.
Nice.
So
take a peek at that.
There you
go.
That's
kind of cool. And that's not overly expensive either. That's,
no.
What, $60, something like that?
Yeah, $99, I think, for the 128.
For the large
gig.
One, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's a bit pricier than other ones.
It is, but it's got the two connectors, so that's a
right.
bonus.
Okay,
and that's its real claim to fame. But
yep.
So any upcoming events? Anything we haven't? Well, obviously, AlterConf is happening. Did we talk about that last week?
Yes, we did.
We mentioned it.
Okay.
Yes, we did mention it, and next week we'll have a guest on from AlterConf, Ash Dryden, who is hosting and organizing the event. So we'll find out a little bit more about that next week with our guest. But also, let's see, Startup Weekend Education is set for the 26th through 28th. That's this weekend.
So today. That's happening now.
Today.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Mobile Twin Cities, we have a UX person from, UX UI person from Exocyte speaking about the stealth art designing around the process. So if you can check that out, you're more than welcome.
That would
IoT. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that actually sounds like I would even be interested in that one because
well, then you ought to come over.
That's right.
Yeah. Because it's, you know, one of the things is how do you create a fluid process for somebody when they come in? So every step in the process is intuitive.
Yeah.
You know, I look at, and I'll just bring up one example, MailChimp. And so, you'll go in and they keep the next button in the lower right of the browser window and it's fixed there. And that's fine if you're on a laptop, But if you're on a machine like I've got, the Retina iMac, and I've got this thing stretched out, it's like, wait a minute, where the hell's the next button? You know, so it's just little things like that that you don't think would be an issue when you're doing UX design. But I bet you somebody like Nick Green, the guy that's going to do this, I bet you he absolutely looks at stuff like that. So.
And anyhow. Then IoT Fuse is coming up.
April 22nd. Yeah, we're almost.
Do we have agenda and speakers put together yet, Steve?
Or yep, there's some new stuff on the site. If you go there and click on Conference 2016 at the in the top navigation, you'll go to the section on the conference, and we have just our featured speakers up right now. We don't have them all, but we actually have, we had set a goal of 50 speakers registrants, and we've exceeded that goal now. And so it's going to fill up really fast. And our attendee list, we've got an email sign up where people can get on the list, and you know, we'll send them out notes about tickets when the tickets become available and so on. And that is just, I mean, we're probably getting 10, 12 a day.
Good.
So it should be good.
It'll be great. So,
all right.
Very nice. Well, we'll see what happens next week, because there's always something going on, right? And we'll talk about it on
the Minivate Gang Podcast.
Have a good week.
Take care.